You're listening to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
Let me test your knowledge of the U.S. lift truck market. What company holds the number one position in market share? Would it surprise you to learn they also sell one in every five lift trucks sold in the U.S.? What if I told you that company was Toyota Material Handling and that they produce their vehicles in Columbus, Indiana? I've asked Brett Wood, president of Toyota Material Handling, to be my featured guest today in order for you, my listening audience, to learn about the decisions he is making leading the market-leading lift truck company in the United States.
You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to take the time to listen live during our broadcast times. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. If you want to join the conversation during the show, then find the community chat room page on the octalkradio.net's radio station website. Log in with your Twitter ID, post your thoughts. Our producer, Paul, checks them, brings them to my attention, and possibly we could work them into the interview today. As I said, it gives me welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show, Brett Wood, president of Toyota Material Handling. He's going to be talking to us today about a variety of topics, and we're going to get into that interview in just 1 minute, but I think we're going to take a quick commercial timeout, and then we'll be back.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. It's my pleasure today to have Brett Wood, who is president of Toyota Material Handling, as my guest. Brett, welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show. Hi, Brett. This is Rick Franzi, and welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Hi, Rick. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'd like to get right into the interview by asking you to talk with our audience about your professional path and kind of career movement as led you up to the current position that you have with your firm.
Okay, very good. And thank you for having me on your show today. I grew up in upstate New York and graduated from Cornell University in the middle of New York with a mechanical engineering degree. And after 21 years of the ice and snow of that area, Southern California looked very appealing, and the aerospace industry offered me a position at Northrop Grumman in aerospace, working on a missile program. So that's what took me to Southern California. And after 5 years of working very technical engineering areas, it was very rewarding, but I think I realized that I probably was more of a sales and marketing type of person trapped inside a Dilbert costume, focusing on working more on engineering projects. And so I left Northrop Grumman Company and joined Toyota 22 years ago. And have been at Toyota ever since in the industrial equipment division of Toyota, and have enjoyed some wonderful opportunities in several different departments and product planning, product development, marketing, sales and sales training, And one of my best experiences was in the service and aftermarket technical support area that allowed me to visit customers and dealers and learn firsthand the experiences that they were having with Toyota products. But I've also been in charge of dealer development and strategic planning and other parts of the Toyota world. And for almost 3 years now, I've been president of a Toyota Material Handling Division.
So I'm going to ask you to talk to the audience a little bit more about your organization. But what was that like going from working for the president to being promoted to the position of being president? Can you just share briefly with our audience, if you would, if you're comfortable, what that kind of moment in time was like for you?
Sure. Well, you know, that was an exciting time, but I would have to admit there were some anxious and apprehensive moments involved with that transition. The benefit that I enjoyed and was able to make the transition smooth was, you know, when you're at a company like Toyota for so long, 20 years or so, and the experience of being in different roles and different departments, I was very, very comfortable with the different perceptions, the different angles, and the different roles that people have. So I could relate to the employees and the associates probably a lot better than perhaps if someone new were brought into the company to lead the company from outside. And that made the transition smooth. The other nice benefit that I enjoyed was the existing president stayed on for 1 year as chairman and helped with as a mentor and made that transition for me very, very smooth and probably eliminated a lot of potential surprises that I might have had otherwise if he were to leave the company abruptly. So I would give Toyota a lot of credit for allowing that type of transition to take place, and you know, with anyone moving into a senior leadership role, I would say there's always room for improvement, but the curves are different depending on your experience and your background and your knowledge I definitely feel like I've still got a lot more to learn and looking forward to growing even more into the role and into the position as time moves on.
Well, I guess I sort of ask you a little bit of a loaded question because I had the opportunity when I worked at Delphi to move from the vice president or the director of marketing and sales and marketing to the general manager and president of the division. And one of the lessons that I learned very quickly was I was now responsible for all aspects of the business, and there was no chance really to exhale as the president versus the director of sales and marketing. When we got to the engineering and the manufacturing and the quality issues, I could kind of sit back a little bit because I was off the seat. But as the president, I had to be engaged in all areas of the business in the conversation.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Rick, and I can relate to that. And not just in meetings, but, you know, at dinners, and traveling with your teams and in airports and, you know, even in an elevator. I can't hide in the back of an elevator anymore. You know, someone wants to say hello and you need to engage in them and be responsive. And I think that's a good part of the job that I enjoy. And along that line, you know, I've told some of my senior staff, You know, you're sitting in meetings, just like you said, Rick, and maybe you're in charge of marketing, and the topic might move to production. Don't turn off the listening skills. And I think that's what, you know, something that my father taught me. He was a senior executive at Kodak many years ago, and I was able to use that talent or that skill, and I'm advising my team to do the same. You know, you can always pick up something, and you never know where your next career move or your future position might be, and remembering something that the manufacturing vice president talked about or the CFO mentioned in a meeting that might not be directly related to you might come in handy someday.
I think that is a learning moment. I look for these teachable moments here on Critical Mass, the radio show. So for those out there who may not be the president yet or general manager or CEO of your division or your business, what Brett said makes a lot of sense, because what I attribute partly to my ability to ascend into the president's position at my division of Delphi was that I had a healthy curiosity of the other business areas, and I wanted to understand them better. And I think just through that very nature of that type of attitude, I was able to probably show that I had the capability to take on the much more it's amazing how much more when you come from a area of the business to being the president of the division, how much more you need to know. It's just a lot more information.
Right, you're absolutely right.
I'd like you to spend a couple minutes with our audience talking about, first of all, the name Toyota suggests that this business unit is a part of the Toyota that many people may know from the commercial vehicle or from the vehicle marketplace and trucks. So if you could just talk a bit about your company, you know, how it's structured, and then what it is that your business does specifically, I think our audience would find that interesting.
Sure. I look forward to that. So as you mentioned, a lot of people recognize the name Toyota. You know, when I go to a party or an event, I can mention Toyota, and people know what I'm talking about. Then when I mention the word forklifts, sometimes they look at me with a dazed look. Toyota makes forklifts? I didn't know that. So our company has been in the U.S. for over 40 years, distributing Toyota industrial equipment. The main product is forklifts. We also make tow tractors that you see at airports, pulling the baggage around throughout the airport ground terminal areas. We also make AGVs, automatic guided vehicles, and also scissor lifts and boom lifts that you see in a lot of construction sites. But our main product is forklifts. We make about 62 different type of forklift models. Some are electric-powered, battery-powered. Some are engine-powered with diesel engines, LP, gas, CNG. So it's quite a variety of different models. Our corporate headquarters is located in Irvine, California. We have a factory in Columbus, Indiana, and that factory builds forklifts. About 100 per day roll off our production line in Indiana, and that factory was actually the first forklift factory for Toyota to be located outside of Japan, and that was back in 1990. So we just celebrated our 20-year anniversary last year at Indiana of building forklifts. There's about 800 associates, employees that work at that factory in Indiana, and pretty much all of our products that we sell in North America are built in North America. So we've got about $111 million investment with 11 expansions over the last 20 years. It's about 1 million square feet under roof, and it's quite an impressive facility. Matter of fact, the factory itself won an award last year as the top plant in the U.S. from a plant services magazine. So we're very proud of that facility and the people that work there. What maybe differentiates us a little bit is a couple of things. You know, people ask me, how did Toyota, you got into the forklift business? Well, we are number one in selling forklifts in the U.S. and in the world. And they ask, how did you get to be number one, and how have you stayed number one? You know, we've been number one for 9 years in the U.S. North America, and typically my answer is two or three items, not just one. One, it's nice to have a great product. We're very blessed and fortunate to have a high-quality product that constantly wins quality survey awards. But secondly, I think it's just as important to have a great distribution or great dealer network. You can have a great product, but if you don't have good dealers or good people selling your products, you probably will not be as successful as you could be, and vice versa. And to give you an example, 85% of Toyota's sales are through our dealer network. 15% is direct, or what we call national accounts. So we rely on 85% of our sales through about 188 different dealer locations all around the country. You know, we have over 6,000 people employed throughout North America, selling, producing, supporting Toyota industrial equipment. So it's a strong team of people, and that's what I meant by the distribution network. And then thirdly, what differentiates us, or I think has kept us at the number one position, has been our Toyota philosophies, our corporate culture. And there's a lot in that, but some of it involves our integrity. We like to focus on what's right for our customers, what's right for our dealers, what's right for our employees. We never settle. That's the three words that you hear a lot around our office, and we never settle. And then I'd like to mention our Kaizen philosophy. A lot of people know that as continuous improvement. The literal translation is to make things better in Kaizen. And that's not just the product. It, of course, involves a product and quality, but it can be a process. It can be a training. It can be in marketing. It can be in parts and aftermarket and service. So there's a lot of Kaizen in every associate's DNA at Toyota, and I feel like that's really kept us differentiated from our competitors and in the number one position and been successful.
Yeah, I've been fascinated to learn all that I've been able to learn, both from talking directly with you and your informative website and the other information that's out about your part of the Toyota business, because I see a lot of similarities, if I can, with major tenets of what I associate to the Toyota brand. But I didn't realize before, Brett, you agreed to be on the radio show, that you were number one and had been, you know, for 9 years in the lift truck market, etc. So we've got a lot of things that we're going to cover yet here on Critical Mass, the radio show with Brett Wood. But when we come back from this first break, I'm going to ask Brett to discuss, of all the experiences and lessons that he's learned in business, what is his guiding principle that he's using as the president of Toyota Material Handling. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3, with triple points on airfare. By 2, with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. My guest today is Brett Wood, president of Toyota Material Handling. And before the break, I said I was going to ask Brett to talk about his guiding principle. So, Brett, if you would, could you share that with our audience, please?
Sure. Thank you, Rick. You know, I mentioned earlier my father and giving me some good advice. So for equal billing, I think I'll mention my mother. She mentioned to me when I was young and gave me some very good talent and skills to always listen, no matter who you're talking to. And I would say that that's helped me in my role as president of this company, to always listen. And that means with a lot of different audiences also. Customers, by far, if a leader of a company fails to listen to their customers, then you're doomed for failure. But also, besides customers, your employees, your associates, the people that you work with, your suppliers, your vendors, the ability to listen, to you know, be open to suggestions, helps you to identify potential improvements and needs. and identify any issues that can help to make a, you know, a company like ours be a real true solutions provider. And there's a phrase that again we have in the Toyota culture, and it's called Genchi Genbutsu. Genchi Genbutsu, and it means to go and see with your own eyes, and go to the source, find the facts to make better decisions, and it'll help you to achieve your goals. And some examples of that, you know, might be to experience firsthand what your customers are experiencing themselves. So what I like to do with our staff, it doesn't matter what level you are, you know, if you're sales manager, you know, vice president, and myself as president, I mandate that we visit our customers as many times as we can each year. Matter of fact, I'll be visiting a customer in 2 weeks in Memphis. And, you know, talk to them. Find out what are their challenges, you know, what are their opportunities. You might not like the answers, but I think it's important to hear what they are experiencing every day, whether it's with your Toyota products, maybe even it's a competitor's product. And also, how can you make their lives, their business, easier? So we sell material handling equipment, but the companies that buy our products, you know, they're making TVs or running a warehouse or managing a distribution center. You know, we don't want them to worry about the forklifts. We want them to be productive at what they do best. So how can we help them in that goal? And it's the same with the employees and associates. I like to visit other, if you're a large company, visit other factories or visit your other facilities. Talk to them, have lunch with them, find out, you know, one of the questions I like to ask is, how can I make your job easier? Sometimes you get a laugh or a chuckle, you know, out of the employee, but you get some interesting answers, and when you start to ask them, you know, what would make it so that your job could be more productive and more efficient? And I think, you know, listening, being able to empower the employee to make suggestions, because they're the best people in your company that are aware of any necessary improvements that could be made to that process or to that element of what they do in their job.
You know, listening is, that's a wonderful guiding principle. I connect to that completely, and I'm glad that you shared that from your experience. And we had the opportunity at Delphi to install the Toyota production system, and one of the things that I took away from that I still talk about to this day, I'm doing it right now here on the radio show, but I do it with our clients and others, is one of the things that I learned was how important employee feedback was in the process, and that the people who were doing the work, how important their opinion about how to improve the work and what could be done to make it more efficient or more productive or make their life easier to get the work done, how critical that was to the whole system, and how much time was spent as we brought, you know, the system into our manufacturing facility in Tijuana to...
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've got associates and customers. In our world, we have dealers, too. The dealer feedback, we have a dealer council that we've created to allow them a forum to give feedback to the manufacturer like Toyota. And it's all in the best interest for everyone to hear, you know, maybe even information that you don't want to hear, but it's all part of the Kaizen or continuous improvement philosophy that I think goes deep throughout the company and the dealer network and the distribution network and hopefully with customers too. You know, in my earlier part of my career, I was in charge of product development. We designed a new forklift, but before we launched it, I took a prototype to several customers throughout the country and ask for their feedback and their involvement. You know, I remember talking to forklift operators and wow, you're asking my opinion on how I can design a better forklift? And they were very excited and gave some very insightful comments. As you can imagine, that's their office. 8 hours a day, they're sitting on that forklift. They probably have some pretty good insight, better than some of us sitting in a glass office, on how to make a good and productive piece of equipment.
That's it. I appreciate you following up with additional perspective. I, again, see that as very important for business.
Yeah,
I guess
you're welcome.
Being a part of Toyota, and with all that had been in the news about the tsunami, the earthquake, and the disaster that affected Japan, I'm wondering from your perspective, you know, about how Toyota as a company responded to the disaster in Japan.
So first of all, the Toyota employees are all safe and fine, and I'm very happy to report that. Also, the Toyota factories are fine. A lot of our factories are more in the southern part of Japan. But the disaster was tremendous and a terrible impact on a lot of people in Japan. And some of the Toyota dealers were impacted by this disaster that lived in that area. So there were, first of all, I'll share with you, there's obviously been a lot of donations, a lot of support from the Toyota family, over $10 million worth of donations and clothes and forklifts and industrial equipment that we make were donated. I'll share with you a story that I thought was really nice to hear that, our dealers in the U.S. wanted to help, and they were very willing to donate to the American Red Cross, but they contacted me and asked me to set up a fund because they wanted to donate directly to a Toyota forklift dealer in Japan who was impacted by the earthquake and the tsunami. So it was nice to see kind of the sister feeling, I guess, that the U.S. dealers had for the Japanese dealers and what they were going through. And, the supply chain challenges have really been pronounced from this disaster. And, you know, from our world in the Toyota forklift industrial equipment arena, we've been fortunate. It's been a minimal impact on our business. The electronics industry has had significant impact, and compared to automobiles or cars, forklifts have some electronics and some microchips and so forth, but not as much as cars. So what you're hearing in the news about Toyota Automotive is a little bit more serious than what we're seeing, luckily, in our industrial equipment arena. But, we did react quickly. I think that's an important message for any type of leader or company when you're faced with a disaster like this. For example, we formed a supplier task force meeting right away, and that group meets every single day, every morning. We're still meeting even at this date every morning, and taking a look at the whole supply chain network for Toyota. For example, we chart out the number of containers that are shipped from Japan, the departure times, their status, their arrival dates, the progress of the shipments throughout our whole system, all the way through our ports and right to our factory in Indiana. We also do an inventory check on all our critical part numbers in the entire system. And then, you know, something to think about, we contacted our sister companies in Europe to determine if they had any parts or inventory that possibly could be used to help supplement our critical components if necessary. Something about the supply chain itself to think about. I mentioned electronics. If we have an electronic board that might go in our forklift or in a car. Well, the company in Japan that makes that board might be okay. But what about the manufacturers making the microchip that goes on that board? You know, they might have been impacted by the earthquake. But even beyond that, what if they're both okay? What about the chemical that goes into that microchip? What about the glue that holds that chip together and so forth? So the message is that, supply chain professionals need to really better understand their supplier dependencies throughout the chain and react as fast as you can. Go deep into your supply chains, develop alternative sources if possible. And speaking for our company, for Toyota, our relationship with our suppliers both in Japan and here in the U.S. will definitely be better after all of this. So it's been a terrible disaster, but we've learned a lot from it. And I think because of our swift action and countermeasures, our customers will not be impacted.
And to hear how the U.S. dealers reached out to their brethren in Japan is really an inspiring message as well, Brett. So thanks for sharing that.
Yes, you're welcome.
We're going to take our next break here on Critical Mass, the radio show. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Brett Wood to share with us a current challenge facing his business and the steps and ideas that he and the executive team have developed or are taking to mitigate that challenge. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Okay, Brett, I know, you know, running a business within the Toyota umbrella of businesses, probably you have no problems and challenges. Everything's just fine. So maybe we can skip this question. Unless, in addition to the supplier things that we talked about just a second ago, you have something else you'd like to share with our audience?
Okay. Yes, we always, I think all of us have our challenges, and that's what makes us good at what we do, right? So the industry itself, and along with a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have been challenged the last couple of years with the economy and the impact on each and everyone's markets. And just to give a little background, our industrial equipment market peaked in 2006, and then in the next year there was a 12% decline, and the next year 20%, the next year 37%, 2010 another 39%. So after the peak from about 5 years ago, there's been a significant decrease in the overall industry. Matter of fact, 2009, it was the lowest it's ever been since 1981. So that would be probably the challenge that I personally faced, and our team and our executive group faced in the last couple of years, and how we recovered from that. So adapting was a key word for us. Like every other company, we had to adapt to the downturn. But I think you can grow from this. And one of the quotes I've been using at our all-associate, all-employee meetings is, "The strongest grass is revealed after a swift wind." And it's one of my favorite phrases, because I think our team has gotten stronger because of the challenge that was faced with us. We looked at everything from a fresh perspective. You know, is it necessary? Can you do more with less? Should we continue doing the process that you're doing today? What new or better way can we manage or handle something? We cut expenses dramatically, as most companies did. For example, when we're not selling new products, we focus on our aftermarket and some of the strengths that we have in supporting our customers with parts and service and selling the value of our products and our company. And the Kaizen philosophy I mentioned earlier was in full force, about continual improvement, changing for the better. For example, at our factory in Indiana, we put in a process and requested 2 Kaizen suggestions from every employee per month. So our goal was to receive over 890 improvement suggestions per month. And the great success story is that we received an average of over 1,000 per month. So we exceeded our goal, and we had a 96% implementation rate. So just at our factory alone, and also in our offices, we saw a lot of put a lot of effort into our Kaizen philosophy and a lot of improvements, and big and small. We focused on providing value to our customers and our dealers, and then back to listening skills. We have a voice of the customer program, and we put a lot of emphasis in listening to the customer, and we had record-breaking results as far as the customer willing to recommend the dealer again and the customer wanting to buy Toyota parts and service. So that was the challenge that everyone faced in the last couple of years with the economic conditions. But I think with true team spirit and some of the Kaizen philosophies, our grass got stronger after that swift wind, and I think we're a stronger company because of it.
So where did you first hear that saying, Brett?
Well, it was actually from Mr. Toyota. He used it in a speech in Japan that I attended, as he spoke to the leaders from all around the world that came for a conference, and I think it was he pulled it from a Chinese proverb.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing it. Hopefully, sure. it will take seed in others, and they might be using it or some derivative of it in the future. That's what we try to do here on Critical Mass, is share experience and knowledge. You know, being number one is a great goal, but then once you achieve it, in my experience, it's maybe harder to keep it, and it certainly you have to set the next challenge, and many times it doesn't have the same rallying cry, let's maintain our number one position, as let's achieve the number one position. Can you share with us what have been the keys for your business to be able to not only then secure the number one position, but then for 9 years maintain the number one position?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's been I mentioned product, dealers, distribution, and the corporate philosophies. But I also enjoyed reading some material from Critical Mass and talking about being relevant. And I would agree with one of the strategic elements that you've identified about being relevant. How to, you know, define what is different about your company. And I think maintaining our number one position, we've done that with, for example, with product and technology. If you don't do that, then you may end up fighting the competitive battle with just on price and price alone. And that's a slippery slope to pursue. For example, Toyota introduced an exclusive safety system that is patented technology that makes a forklift more stable, and with proper training helps to really reduce injuries and improve productivity and even save lives with this type of technology. So that's been a key differentiator, and I think ties in nicely with your strategic point of being relevant.
Yes, yes, it does.
Right, and you know, demonstrate your competitive advantage too. When I was in charge of our training area years ago, we put together a material to talk about, you know, why should a customer consider your product? Why should a customer consider your service? And it's not just, well, Toyota's forklift has a better seat than somebody else's, or drives faster than a competitor's. You know, that's covered by pretty much all the whole industry. So some advice I would give is take it to the next level. We put together a material about the warranty for Toyota, the parts that go into the Toyota product, different pricing and leasing opportunities, the facilities, how many service vans are out on the street servicing to us. So the customers could see that there's, you're not buying just a product, you're buying support and a service that goes behind that number one product. And I think hopefully a lot of your listeners can relate that to some of the business that they're conducting.
I want to I appreciate you connecting some of the strategies that has made your business so successful, and you know, a 20%, 1 in 5 is a pretty good market share to have in an industrial product such as your manufacturing, to what critical mass is the work that we've done with leading companies here in Orange County. So I'm always feel good when guests are able to draw connections between what they are doing to lead to success and what our research is indicating that companies who are best in class are doing. So it validates kind of some of the work that we've been doing on critical mass with the growth strategies, as it were. I'm going to ask you if you could help the audience. One last question, and then we're going to take a short break and come back and got a couple other things. And then before you know it, the show is going to be over. But one quick question before we take our break, and that is, your company has, your part of Toyota has been using, you know, electric motors and other technologies, and that we now see kind of in other areas of Toyota, especially as I think about electric motors and we think about Prius and hybrid vehicles, etc. So I'm wondering, are there synergies between the automotive part of Toyota and the forklift companies within Toyota?
Yes, there are, and at the same time, there are differences, too. The market itself is very different between forklifts or industrial equipment and the automotive market. For example, a forklift typically runs very short distances, and you know, a car needs more long-distance type of traveling, and that's been their challenge with the electric vehicles or electric cars being able to run more than 100 miles, for example, without a charge. The forklift industry has embraced electrics a lot sooner, so we've been fortunate in that regard as far as customers wanting to use battery-powered vehicles and the ability to recharge them and use them indoors, mostly in their you know, clean environments, too. It does make a difference. For example, the forklift industry in the U.S. is about 65% electric powered versus 35% engine powered. So there's more electric forklifts sold in the U.S. than engine power. But at the same time, as you mentioned, there are some synergies. Hybrid technology, as you mentioned, the Prius, very popular car and technology, will be making its way into the forklift world probably in the next couple of years. And, you know, the potential for that is tremendous, to reduce emissions perhaps by 50% and then to also improve fuel consumption by 50% with a hybrid vehicle, a hybrid forklift. And that goes right to the bottom line of a customer and back to being a total solution provider. I think customers will be excited about that new technology that comes to forklifts. And the other synergy, too, that I mentioned earlier, the safety technology that was incorporated into Toyota forklifts, you know, some of that type of technology with sensors and even measuring yaw rate on a forklift for Toyota originated in the automotive world, and we were able to bring some of that type of safety technology to forklifts themselves.
Excellent. We're going to take one last break, and then I think when we come back, we'll have enough time maybe for one final question. And I know the audience is hanging on what that question is going to be, so I'm going to tell you what it is. Brett already knows, but I'm going to tell you, our listening audience, I'm going to ask him to talk about a painful business lesson that he learned in his career. In other words, relate a past experience where he learned a valuable lesson, but it came through a difficult experience. So hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
If you are an Orange County business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plans and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. Brett, can you share with our audience a painful business lesson that you've had in your career?
Okay, Rick. I mentioned earlier that I've been president of Toyota for about Toyota Material Handling for about 3 years. Well, timing is everything, because I became president right towards the end of 2008, and as we all know, the recession and the economic woes of the country were in full force at that time. So the painful experience that I can relate to, but a lesson, too, that I learned from it, involves very quickly in my career, sooner than I thought, I became an expert on early retirement packages, adjusting 401k plans, and so forth. So I felt, even though it was painful, it was important to stand up in front of the company and the associates and the employees and be very open about the economic impact that we were having with our company. So, for example, as I mentioned, we offered early retirement packages. We cut out some programs, some holiday parties and picnics and so forth, and adjusted our 401k plans and pensions. We had every other Friday off type of program to reduce payroll. And I remember having to think about the night before I was going to make that announcement, how I was going to share this with people I've been working with for, you know, over 20 years. So I decided just to be honest and forthcoming, and I made that announcement in an associate meeting, and the reaction was frankly not what I expected. The reaction, I had employees raise their hands and thank me for making these cuts rather than laying off people. So it was nice to see the reaction, the positive reaction, and that what I learned from that was to always, you know, maintain open communication with your employees, with your team, with your staff, be transparent about profits, and at times your lack of profits, you know, kind of share the pain and the reality of the situation so the associates can understand why maybe some cuts had to be made. So I hold quarterly meetings and even more when necessary. We do frequent email messages with our employees and consistent in our messaging. And then finally, now that you know, we've been through the challenges and the profit picture is even better than before, I think it's important to continue that transparency and keep the communication and the open door policy. So what I started was a lunch with the president series, and offered an invitation to anyone in the whole company to have lunch with me anytime to talk about whatever they'd like to talk about, the company, their position, the direction of the company, their department. Soccer or sports or their children or my children, just to get to know each other better. And it was something that that I learned when my father was running a division of Kodak. And I think it's been a real great opportunity for me to get to know people better throughout the company. But I've heard some very good, open and frank comments during these lunch sessions. that maybe they would be not so inclined to share in a bigger group or in a more formal setting or formal meeting. So it was a good learning experience, and you know, we were able to now bring back some of the benefits that I mentioned we cut before, and I think the employees appreciate the, like I say, the open communication and the transparency at all the different levels throughout the company.
Interesting when you opened that answer with timing is everything, or I'm paraphrasing, but I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I know the job's attractive, but you probably, other than the Great Depression, you picked one of the most challenging times in our business economy here in the U.S., so you persevered, and you, baptism by fire, I'm sure, in many a day when you came into the office, Brett, during those early days of your
My wife
tenure.
Reminded me of that time that it hopefully can only get better.
Right. If someone in our listening audience, Future Point, maybe on, you know, Alpha iTunes or wherever they find our podcast, would like to learn more about your firm, how do they find you? What's your website, social media, etc.?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for that opportunity. Our website is toyotaforklift.com, and we have an 800 toll-free number, 1-800-226-0009. And our marketing department has all the wonderful social media aspects with Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Toyota Forklift, if readers would like to do that. And there's also a LinkedIn profile under Toyota Material Handling USA. And I would like to say, too, Rick, that the material that I've read from your Critical Mass material has been very impressive, and I've enjoyed some of the strategies that you've outlined and some of the material that you've shared with me ahead of time.
Well, I appreciate the time you've put into preparing. I have to tell the audience that when I walked in to meet you for the first time, and I was Melinda was bringing me to your office, it was one of the, I could tell that you and your organization had put time into considering being a guest on the show, and had done some basic research, which frankly, I was, made our meeting very productive. And so I just want to say thanks for being a friend of the show, and thanks for being on the show today, and welcome to the Critical Mass business community.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I enjoyed meeting you and the experience, and I hope your listeners were able to pick up some good points. And if anyone would like to contact me personally, they are welcome to do so anytime.
Well, Brett Wood, president of Toyota Material Handling, thank you for being on Critical Mass, the radio show.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between the two of us today and took away several nuggets of knowledge and information that hopefully you can apply in your business. Don't forget to tell your friends about Critical Mass, the radio show, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to future installments either live or as a podcast. So this is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, the radio show, saying until the next time we talk, I hope all your decisions move your company in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, only on octalkradio.net.